Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. If you're following along in a sanctuary Bible, you can find this on page 1200. If you're joining us for the very first time and you are here and you do not have a Bible of your own, then we would encourage you to take one of the Bibles that you'll find in the chair in front of you. It is our gift to you, and we trust that you'll read the Word of God and you will grow in faith because of it. So we are in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. This is the Word of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Praise be to God.
Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth, Father, the meditations and the thoughts of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. Lord, for you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. So I apologize if you weren't here. Actually, I don't apologize for myself. If you weren't here, let me review real quickly. We left off last week looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. And from Peter's first letter to Christians that are living in modern-day Turkey, that's the area of the world that he's addressing, we discovered a few things. We discovered from that passage that suffering on account of our faith in Jesus Christ is normative. It's to be expected. And although living in the United States, that is a very difficult concept for us to grasp and to understand, that is the truth. That's not something because we don't understand it, because more often than not, we don't experience the kind of persecution and suffering that Peter is talking about. We are not to feel guilty about that. However, what we did learn is while the sun is shining, we should make hay. We also discovered that faith in Jesus Christ is of incalculable wealth and value. And there is more than enough for us to be able to share with others. And finally, we discovered that the great teachers, prophets, and priests of the Old Testament, and even the angels themselves, longed to experience and understand and see fulfilled what faith in Jesus Christ was. But they did not. However, since we have, and since we do know this faith, we again need to be about the business of sharing it with others. In each of the areas that we looked at last week, Peter is saying that we need to hold firmly to the faith in Christ that we have during times of suffering. And again, in the context that Peter is basing the examples that he's going to talk about in, we are talking about suffering very specifically in that context of suffering because you are a Christian. However, what he has to say in verses 3, 4, and 5, speak to suffering, speak to pain, speak to hope, regardless of what is going on in our lives. And these three verses provide us with a framework in which to look at two forms or two characteristics of the faith that believers in Jesus Christ have. Now, the first form that Christian faith takes is the, I'm calling the already form. It is what Christians around the world experience as believers in Christ right now. The second form that Christian faith takes is what I'm calling the not yet form. And this is what our faith will become when we have, as Peter says, received the goal of our faith, which he says in verse 9, is the salvation of our souls. Now this morning we are briefly going to turn our attention to Peter's proclamation of the faith that he encourages his flock, and through the timeless word of God that he is also encouraging all of us to cling tenaciously and desperately to when we find that our lives are in the depths of anguish and despair. And again, I want to be clear, the context that Peter is going to be basing what he has to say is within a context of suffering on account of faith in Jesus Christ. But what Peter says about faith in Jesus Christ is also a strength to us and an encouragement to anyone who is suffering or in pain or is experiencing exuberant joy. So turn with me to look briefly at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, which again, if you're looking at the Sanctuary Bible, is on page 1200. Now, the already form of the faith that Peter is speaking of in these verses is what theologians call regeneration. That is, it is the rebirth of our souls. Verse 3 says this, "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Well, what is regeneration? Well, regeneration is the soul work of God in our lives to bring us from being dead in our sins and completely separated from God in one moment to being made alive and in relationship with God in the next. Now, it's really a difficult idea to describe in concrete terms, how it may have happened to one person or another. So I'm going to let Evel Knievel do the description for me. I recently read about Evel Knievel's reported conversion to Christianity. You can find it. It's a small insert in the newest edition of Christianity Today. And Knievel says this, "I don't know what in the world happened. I don't know if it was the power of the prayer or God himself, but it just reached out either while I was driving or walking down the sidewalk or sleeping, and it just, the power of God and Jesus just grabbed me. All of a sudden, I just believed in Jesus Christ. I did. I believed in him." And you may say, well, that's craziness. That's the coffee talking. But if you look at C.S. Lewis's story, almost the exact same. Traveling to a park one day, he says it was a beautiful day, wasn't even thinking about the things of God, and by the time I arrived at that park, I just believed. Regeneration. It's God's work. And the idea of regeneration is only the beginning, though, because Peter says that we are given a new birth into, we are regenerated into, we are reborn into a living hope. And is a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, faith in the already begins in birth, in that soul work of God to alone bring us to faith in Jesus Christ. And you see, you know, the birth analogy is a really great analogy for Peter to use here, because birth is not an action that is an end unto itself. Birth is an action that propels a child onto the path of growth and maturity. Children aren't born just to be born. Children are born to grow and to live and to experience and to contribute all kinds of things. And the significant path of maturity believers in Jesus Christ are born into when they have faith in Christ is what Peter is calling a living hope. It is a hope that the promises of God that come from being in relationship with him are actually true. That sin is forgiven and cleansed. That life is eternal. That pain, that sorrow, that suffering will one day be no more. These are the promises of a living hope. And they are rooted, as Peter tells us, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Regeneration, rebirth, that is God's part. And he alone does it. But once we are regenerated and once we are born again in Christ, the fruit of this reality, the already of having a living hope, begins to play out. Birth having come, the journey begins and we begin to desire to pray. We begin to desire to read God's word. We begin to desire to worship and to worship with his people. We find that we are beginning to know God intimately. We will desire to obey both in truth and spirit the words of Christ. And being regenerated, we will bear fruit from our growth and maturity. It's going to be interesting now. Mr. Knievel's gone on record. And now it will be interesting to watch to see if this regeneration he has described has been true. If we see and as we see fruit in his life. And it's not different for him because he's a celebrity. It's the same for every single one of us. We all need to have fruit. That is the proof of our regeneration. It's all part of the living hope that we have through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That is the purpose of faith in the already. The second characteristic that Peter addresses concerning faith in Christ, though, is this not yet characteristic, or this not yet form of our faith. It is a part of our faith that we have not yet received. It will be ours once we pass out of this life, but it is not ours at this time. Whereas the already form of our faith begins in regenerating birth, putting us on the path of a living hope, the not yet form comes in our deaths, as we are given what Peter calls an inheritance that has been saved for us with regard to our faith. Peter says it like this in verse 4. You have been, piggybacking up on verse 3, in his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In verse 4, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now there are three characteristics. He chooses very specific words here to describe what this inheritance looks like. It is an inheritance that can never perish, meaning it won't expire. It is an inheritance that will never spoil, meaning it won't decay. It is an inheritance that will never fade, meaning it won't wither. The inheritance we receive never perishes because God's mercy towards our sins will never expire. You will always, eternally, be merciful towards them in Christ. The inheritance we receive never spoils because God's power to preserve his promises towards us will never decay. He will not become weaker. The inheritance we receive never fades because the inheritance we receive is of eternal life will never diminish. We will never wither in the life to come. The inheritance to be given to us will never perish, spoil, or fade because it is an inheritance that is otherworldly. It's not like earthly inheritances that we receive that I could spend and have no more, or could decay over time, or could become utterly like vapor and just be gone. Someday, folks, what we have here, all gone, all gone. And what Peter is saying is, there is one inheritance, one, that will never perish, spoil, or fade. And this inheritance that God is going to give to us, Peter says, the end of verse 4, is kept in heaven for you. You can't receive it while you're here. You have to be in God's presence in order to receive the inheritance he has for you. In verse 5, we see that God is again a major player in seeing our faith reach its final goal, as we are, as the scripture says, through faith shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, at the beginning, when we are birthed, God in regeneration is at work in bringing us to a knowledge and experience of himself. And during the journey of growth and maturity through life, God is at work shielding us, protecting us by his power to allow us to become the people he wants us to be. And in the end, God will give to us the inheritance he has promised. The curse and bondage of sin will forever be destroyed. never to touch us again. The promises God has made to us will be preserved, and eternal life with God will be ours forever and ever. You know, I didn't know my brother in Christ, Ray Smith, very well. I do know that Ray had the living hope that Peter speaks of. And I know that Ray now has the inheritance that Peter speaks of. For us right now, that doesn't make his passing much easier. But in the midst of our sadness, in the midst of our grief, whether it be because somebody that we love is gone, whether it be because we are suffering for proclaiming Christ as our Lord, God is who he says he is. That is the living hope that you and I can claim. That is the living hope that in our brother Ray has been completed. And God will do what he says he will do. He has given Ray his inheritance, and he is ready to give it to you. And he does this as we put our trust and put our faith in who Jesus Christ is and what he did for you and for me. Let's pray. Father, I do ask that your words would indeed be a comfort to us. I ask, Father, that as we think on what our faith is now in the already, as we have the living hope that is spoken of, and as we look, Father, towards the future, a future that because of our living hope is not something that we need to fear. It's not something that causes us anxiety. It's something, Father, we can look at and say, even in the ultimate human action, death, you are there. There is a gift. Your promises are not void, and you want to give us an inheritance. Well, Father, help us in times when life is very difficult. Help us in times, Father, when our faith is very difficult to continue in, to remember that you have given us a living hope, an inheritance that is being kept safe for us. Amen.